Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, good evening. Sorry I started a little late here. Didn't mean to. Tonight I'm going to... decided what I was going to do. Tonight I'm going to read the tarot for people who might want to call in. If not, it's okay. But just know that the cards are ready, and we're ready if you'd like to, if you'd like a tarot reading. What I've done in the past is, every so often I get the urge to do a tarot reading for my callers and for my audience, and I never really quite know why I get the urge to do that. It's not really a constant thing. But what I'm going to do is I sent somebody there tonight, and I'm not really sure who it is, but if anybody would like to identify themselves or call, I'd be happy to do a tarot reading for you. If not, I will do one anyway. I've done this before, where I've thrown out a reading for someone who may be there. And I sense that person being there tonight. I'm going to... I usually do a 9-card lay, and I will do that tonight. And this is for whoever it is out there that maybe needing some kind of guidance from the spirits. There's no need to feel ashamed. We all need guidance from spirits. And we all get guidance from spirits, regardless of whether you want it or not. They're all around us, good and bad. Many people don't believe in bad spirits or good spirits. Many people don't believe in spirits at all. However, I'm not one of those. I have a great respect for the spirit world. And my training, if you will, in the sacred arts are rather, how can I say this, that they're eclectic, well, as esoteric, but I came to the tarot in a very different way. I was taught to read them by Maria Alturi, psychic, and also Joanna Sherman, who is the creator of the Sacred Rose Tarot deck, which is one I use, and I find it to be, I can't even explain the great sense of under of the great knowledge that I attribute to this art. I call it an art, but because essentially that's what it is. It's a spiritual art, and the art of prophecy, the art of divination. Whether or not I'm prophetic, I'm simply reading what I see, what I interpret from the cards. But my accuracy is quite good. And because of that, I tend to, that encourages me greatly. So I'm going to, now I'm going to, I already shuffled and cut the deck. And for that person out there who needs this, this is for you. In a nine card lay, first card is the High Priestess. That's fascinating in the sense that you are your presence is either guided by or is an extremely intuitive individual. The High Priestess is the second highest card in the Arcana, and for you to be there tonight, I'm rather honored that you're that whoever you are tuning into the program. And the way this works, let me explain the definition of the High Priestess by the creator of the card. And of course, you got to remember, the tarot is 78 cards, and they're the same cards in each in every tarot deck. They're basically the same people, the same characters. It's just how they are defined by the creator of the deck, or how they're depicted, gives them their power and their intuitive ability, or their ability to speak to the reader of the card. The interpreter of the card. And I believe that the High Priestess basically what it means is, in its divinatory meaning, and this is straight from the guidebook to the Sacred Tarot, so I'm not saying anything that's not correct. It means this, that these secrets and intuitions and dreams hold answers. Karmic law governs the outcome. Going by the book brings results. Observation, neutrality. It is proper to seek counsel from a woman. Spiritual education to take place possibly within the next moon cycle. So, you know, it's possible. And essentially, you're part of all that is central to the cosmos. So you are about to enter, or you have already entered into a great spiritual awakening for education. That's the highest and best of that card's divination. And but I'm impressed that that is your first card. So whoever you are, are quite intuitive. But unfortunately, in your emotional, in the emotional house, which is the second card, I'm pulling up a Five of Cups. Now, a Five of Cups is an unusual card in that it depicts chaos. And that's emotional chaos here. That's probably why you're listening to this tonight, or you've tuned in. And the Five of Cups is a card that represents a prevailing negativity and confusion. It doesn't mean that everything is lost, but it does mean that you have to take actions in order to bring about a resolved. So you know what you have to do, and you know there's going to be some, there's either some criticism or there's some negativity that's upsetting you. And being of a higher intuitive nature, you are quite disturbed by this. But the Five of Cups is not a disaster, and you can overcome your problems. And especially with the High Priestess as your guide. Now, intellectually, and this is why I think what's going to happen here is that intellectually, you have the Eight of Wands. That's such a powerful card. It's an explosion of thought, explosion of creativity, explosion of action. And that's in your intellectual house. So the intellectual house is one that it's great. It's just great. So whoever is out there, and I sense that it's a female, highly intuitive one, going through an emotional period, probably trying to make a great creative decision, whether to plunge into something, and it shows this in the card. And now, and that's good. I mean, I see Eight of Wands is a good card, an explosion of energy and action. However, the Four of Cups is in your fourth house, and the Four of Cups is an unusual card in the sense that it speaks about you're going to be confused for a while. You have muddled emotions. And you may be overindulgent in food or drink or drugs, or which could, offset some of the pain or the emotional upset that you may be going through. But the Four of Cups is a card that warns you of illness, and the emotional will soon, and how the emotions, because I can see, if you're not careful, your emotions will bring about the physical manifestation of illness, and your mind is scattered. However, you can use that in a productive way because your creativity, intellectual area, and you're going to go, or you have, or you will go shortly through a spiritual education, a spiritual enlightenment, a spiritual awareness, based upon the first card, which is the High Priestess. So, and the guidance is there for you. So, let me go on. So, like I said, you're now in the fifth card is the King of Pentacles. The King of Pentacles is a good card. It represents wealth. It represents stability. It represents power. And so, once this flourishes through, you still have possibly a job. You still have that may be what you're going through now. You're concerned about your position, but you have stability there, and you have some wealth, you have some savings, you have an ability to move forward, and a strong foundation for what you want. Now the fifth house, or the sixth card, is the Nine of Swords. Now the Nine of Swords is rather a frightening one, in the sense that in order for you to proceed in your future,
you're going to have to become naked, if you will, dear. You're going to face humiliation. You're going to face some defeat. But you're going to be exposed, and to the good or the bad. But that's something that you have to accept in order to move forward in whatever that line vein is, you know, wherever you are headed. I can't really see that where you're headed, but you are headed somewhere. And to a great degree of enlightenment. But like everything, enlightenment is simply, you get there through pain, unfortunately, and you get there through joy. But you know, what happens is once you, with the Nine of Swords, it's realizing the truth. And once you realize that truth, it can be very, very devastating. It can be devastating to understand that you've been on the wrong path all of your life, or you've been pursuing a false ideal. But it doesn't mean that all is lost. It just means that you have to turn around, you know. Going through a bad time. You're going to go through a little hard time. But you're going to build an awareness of your own thoughts, and it's going to it'll reveal to you what happened or what's happening to you now. And let me go on to the next card, which is the seventh card. That's rather frightening. The seventh card is the Tower card. The Tower card, though it's in the Arc of Power, it's the seventh card. It's not the primary card. It's the seventh card. So you will face some financial or possibly physical or possibly a relationship breakup. But the Tower card is a severe in the sense that it is a severe card, but as the seventh card, it serves more as a warning card. State that you could be facing hard times financially, but it's right next to the King of Pentacles, so in the fifth, in the sixth, and so on. So chances are it could be more of a breakup, of an emotional breakup, but it may have something to do with finances. You may be going through a divorce, maybe a divorce situation, but nevertheless, you know, stay firm, and that it'll work out. It will work out, because the Tower card is a fate card. It's like, you know, fate coming down and just kicking your ass, and it happens. But not to fear. You can get over that. There could be somebody, again, and there's the King of Pentacles. It's usually represents a Taurian figure or a person, a male figure. You could be a male right now. I'm not sure. I can't determine if you're a female or male who I'm speaking to. However, there is that figure in there. And you're going through some difficult times, but you will prevail. Now your eighth card is the Ace of Wands. Ace of Swords. And the Ace of Swords is one of opportunity, but entanglement. So you have your opportunity, which I can see there is an opportunity for you, but you have to move away from your self-doubt and defeat and all of the emotional entanglements, and push forward. The Ace of Swords is that it's you know, the opportunity, the impossible, but it's opportunity there for you. And what's really wonderful is your ninth card, is the Nine of Pentacles. And the Nine of Pentacles is a card of bounty, a card of plenty. And so I can see where your troubles are going. However, you will come out all right in the end. You'll take that opportunity, seize the moment, and break away from whatever that torment is, and the pain and suffering, and perhaps financial or divorce or whatever it may be. And you will start anew. And whatever that new path is, it will be prosperous for you. So I don't know who this is for. I only know that it's for someone out there. And please grab it if you wish, if it's yours, if it makes sense to you. If not, well, it makes sense to somebody else. But the spirits are funny in a way that I can't fully understand my own nature when it comes to the spirit, because it's more of a calling. It's like somebody needed this. I don't know why. I'm not asking anyone for any money or listeners or ship or anything. I mean, it's like when the spirit calls you to do something, it's because you're the one who can do it. And, you know, if you go through my series that I did on the Agni Yoga series readings, there's in the Morna's Gardens, Leaves of Morna's Gardens, the first book of the series, which was called The Calling. And that's a fascinating work in that what it represents is the what it states is that we're all called into being. We all have a calling sometimes, and we don't know why we are to do something. We don't know. It just comes to us that we have to do it. Why do we have to go to this place at this time, and suddenly we meet this friend, or suddenly we meet this person that, or this do this thing, or whatever, even if it's a tedious task that we have to do, sometimes it brings us to a an enlightenment or an awareness that we didn't have before of that same task. I may be rambling here and maybe a little bit off, but we all have a reason for doing what we do. And it may not be apparent to us at first, but it is definitely a force that we must reckon with. And that force is the invisible force in the cosmos and our destiny, whichever that may be. And some people believe there is no coincidence, and that may be true. But whatever it is, sometimes it leads us to do things that we wouldn't normally do, and or sends us to places we wouldn't normally go, and find things we wouldn't have ever known. It's like, for instance, I'm not single now, but when I was single, oftentimes I would go to a we all do this. We all go to a bar, or we go to a dance, or we go to a social event in hopes of meeting somebody. And we do, or we don't. But often, sometimes we do. And is that coincidence, or is that, fate, karma? It's hard to explain what it really is, other than if it follows a pattern, if it's a pattern that seems to create results for you. In other words, if you go to this particular bar to meet people, and you've had luck in the past meeting people and friends and so on, then, you know, you just assume you're going to have luck again. And you already go somewhere else. So you go. That's what, you know, we do. But in a sense of fate, in a sense of calling, in a sense of a mystical revelation, which I believe this individual is going through, fate pushes us to the wall. Destiny pushes us right up against the wall and tests our mettle and tests us to the max, you know, and many of us fail, and unfortunately many of us perish, or we give up before we get the results, or we, you know, who knows, you know, or we could find ourselves in a most perilous situation, and who knows what, you know, and we die. I mean, it's quite frightening. Like in Connecticut here recently, this week, there was a massacre of 9 people in Manchester, Connecticut recently at a beer distributorship. A guy had a disciplinary action, and he was supposedly stealing beer from the, by the case, he was a driver. And he was brought in the morning at 7 o'clock in that morning, and he was told, you know, he was shown a video of him being, of him stealing, you know, and they fired him, or offered him, asked him to resign. And the guy, by the news accounts, I guess he got up, he said, can I go get a drink of water? And he says, I'd like to have a drink of water. And they said, yeah. He went to his locker, got his lunch pail, which he had 2 guns in the lunch pail, and he started to open fire. Came back to the office and shot a couple of guys there, vice president and so on, and then went out and shot a bunch of other people. And then he turned the gun on himself and shot himself. So it's like, how do you explain that? How do you explain that? I don't know. But other than to say that somehow those people that he shot, those people's lives somehow were connected to his in a cosmic way. And by him shooting them and him shooting himself, he completed some karmic cycle that had to be completed on this planet, on this earth. How do you explain that unexplainable loss to a family that, you know, or when a child is drowned or dies, or when, you know, you can't, or when you go through some tremendous emotional upheaval in your life, a divorce or financial ruin, or, you know, any of these things that can happen, sudden death, injury, you know, and you just, oh my God, what am I going to do now? But that's the faith, that's your faith in fate, if you will. I'm a strong believer in fate. Other people don't believe in fate, but I do. Whatever your fate may be, you don't know. I don't know. All I can do is read the cards and, you know, say have a safe, hope you have a safe journey, and try to guide you, you know, guide people to a better understanding of their own situation. And the spirit, I believe spirits do help you in that regard, because they're very kind, very gentle spirits. We're here to, or who are available to men and women and children in a third dimension to work through these problems, to create a better life, to get through this karmic if you will, this karmic event that must occur. I've never understood until probably in the last 4 or 5 years where I've actually come to grips with death, with the what death really means, what it really is, and also in the many, many, many trials that I've had over my life, I failed marriages or failed business or failed whatever, and you know, you always come back and you always try again and you always break through. But this time you do it better and you do it wiser and you do it with less avarice or less anger or less greed, you know, or less selfishness. And as you create the forces around you, forces around you that you're attracting, they're either good or they're either positive or negative forces. And if you're attracting the positive force, if you're truly, honestly working for the better of yourself and your family and mankind, or you know, you have a spiritual awareness and you put God or and faith as a guidepost, as your goal, as your, that comes to you. That comes to you. The fact that you, that this particular individual that I did this reading for, I could see that they already have a strong guide. You know, they're already highly intuitive, and they I mean, to have the high priestess in your first house, which is the present, means that you are surrounded by this force of counsel. This, you know, and you yourself may be a counselor. You may be a good person who's going through a tough time. But just understand that you have to, that through your entire reading, you will have a tough time, but that time will end. There's an end to that harsh time. And part of it is there because in your third card, which was, sixth card, which was your future, immediate future, that card states that you will come to identify a truth, spiritual truth, spiritual awareness about yourself, something about yourself, but others will as well. And that will lead to that opportunity, which is your eighth card. However, it'll also lead to the seventh card will play an influence, which is the Tower card, and the eighth card, the ninth card is the Nine of Pentacles, which is a very positive, very spiritual, a bountiful card. So you're going to come out of it and be financially and emotionally okay. So it's like the phoenix rising. You know, you're going to. That's what that means. But in general, if I look at the at this in general, this. This reading, this Tower reading, it could be all of us. And it could be all of us in the sense that so many of us right now, so many people are hurting, so many people are without jobs, so many people are without funds, without loved ones, without, just going through a very difficult time in their lives. All of us, many of us, are, and I'm not saying I'm not, we all have our doubts, we all have our moments, we all have our troubles, and we all do, no question about it, but it's how you carry yourself, it's how you accept those troubles, it's how you how you look upon them that will allow you to overcome them. Because troubles are temporary. Everything is temporary. Prosperity is temporary. Despair can be temporary. I mean, depression is temporary. I mean, these things come and go. They're like waves. They're like, some are larger and some are smaller. But and then at times there's calm. You're on the ocean of life. Expect the big waves, big swells, the hurricanes, coming at you. That's all part of life. There's no life that I know of, I've ever heard of, or ever read about, that didn't have difficult times. Some of the greatest men and women in history became great men and women because they dug deep within themselves and found that strength that they needed to carry on. Either the strength to lead a nation through war or through depression or through whatever, the strength and commitment to raise a family in a terrible economic times. It's almost impossible it is impossible to accept life in any other terms. Because every day, day after day, is another wave. And within the day is another 100 waves that come at you from all sides. And it's like your life is like you're just, I say you're a swimmer who, is trying to swim against the tides, and you hope you can build a ship or get a life raft of some sort. And maybe you can get a big one and ride the waves or whatever. But, or a yacht, which is wonderful. But all of these things are, again, in your imagination. They're in your own mind. Just as you can predict or see disaster, you can predict and see prosperity. You can predict and see good times. You can predict and see for yourself joy, happiness, love, children, or whatever. Whatever it is that you want to see and create or manifest is what you will manifest, what you'll attract to yourself. If you attract love, kindness, peace, truth, whatever it is that you see, and whatever it is that's positive, you can attract to yourself simply by seeing it, visualizing it, working with it, working toward it, seeing how you're going to achieve it, how you want. And by doing that, oddly enough, through the process of doing that, you create within yourself the drive, the intellectual drive, the emotional drive, the the physical and intellectual motivation to keep you to achieve your goal, achieve your desire. Now, you can do the same thing in reverse. We all have two doors. There's always two doors. There's always two options. There's always, the option to go forward, to go backwards, or to stay the same. Sideways, you can go lateral, but we all can move one way or the other, but there's only one way that you can go. Either go forward to the light or go forward into the darkness. Into the darkness, there's chaos, there's sadness, there's fear, there's doubt, there's murder and everything dark, everything that is dark, death, and disease, and these are all the dark side. Whereas, and people just dwell, can dwell in the dark side as well as they can dwell in the light side. Sometimes it's easier. It's easier to feel sorry for yourself. It's easier to feel sickness. I mean, anything makes you sick. You know, too much heat, too much water, too much beer, you know. Too much of any good thing. But it's grief. But at the same time, getting back to the two doors, you can accept that dark side or you can accept the light side. That's the way you walk. That's the way your life can go. And personally, I've chosen both sides. It's not something, the dark side is not something I'm alien to. I'm very familiar with it. But I've chosen to go to the light side. I've chosen to concentrate on the light side, the God side, the bright side, the enlightened side. I don't want to be a slave to darkness, to fear, to grief, to sadness, to poverty, to disease. I've been there. I've had all of these things, you know. And in the dark side, there's dark can be extremely alluring. Satan, the devil has a handsome countenance, a handsome face, and that's so true. You can be led down the path of destruction by a beautiful woman or a handsome man or a charming circumstance or drugs or that make you feel incredibly wonderful for a short while, and then you're addicted and your life becomes hell and it's a slave to that demon. Alcohol, cigarettes, you know, all that. Heroin, methamphetamine, Demerol, and all of these drugs, and I have this, and you have to believe that the choice of the dark or the light has no social or status or you know, is no what I'm trying to say is it's no it's a equal opportunity employer, the dark side and the light side, you know, they have no, it can be anybody, it can be anybody from any status or wealth or background or whatever, that can be led to violence, led to misanthropy, led to anger and I go back to this guy who massacred 8 people, killed 8 people, plus himself. There was a dark side. Witnesses and his girlfriend and everybody said he was a mild-mannered guy. They never expected him to blow like that. They knew the guys that worked with him never thought that he would be the kind of guy that could do this. So, but for some reason, there were demons that he was holding on to. He chose the dark side. He chose his dark side and the darkest of dark ways, and murder, mayhem, and suicide. Riley, and he was a young man. He was only in his 30s. You know, the case could have been closed. And he could have walked away and got another job somewhere else. He was a young man. But rather than do that, he chose anger and insanity over, you know, rational thinking and accepting, you know, your wrongs. That's just, you know. But no, instead he lashed out and killed everybody. He could get in there and kill himself. Couldn't face it. So what I'm saying in terms of trying to understand our which way we go, which way we determine our life will go, we have to accept that it can go either way, and the friends that we associate with or the job that we're in or the people that we're around or the, you know, all create this the enticement, if you will, to go one way or the other, to either straddle the road in this narrow path of righteousness and goodness and keep your mind clear and head toward the light always and leave it, let the light be your guide. Or we just muddle through our lives and, you know, try to straddle both both paths. And we can't really do that successfully because it's either one way or the other, you know, because you can't be a successful, enlightened heroin addict, you know, alcoholic. These things will eventually deteriorate your physical and mental capacities to the point where you're no longer of right mind, you know, and or you will die because of physical breakdown. So you know, you have to. You can't go that route.
Getting near the end of the show.
But I would like to I'd like to say that however you go, whichever you are, whoever you are, because the caller, not the caller, but the card was geared towards somebody. I don't know who you are, you know, but that particular scenario definitely was for you. And yeah, doesn't sound like I, you know, sound, it doesn't sound phony, but I've done this before, and people have several people have, you know, contacted me and later, you know, and realized that it was for them. And that's why I did it. It doesn't give me any great, just a service, you know, it's nothing more than that. It's just a service. Because when you have a gift, which I believe I do, served me over the many years, and after understanding how to utilize the gift in a more focused way to help others, then you know, these kind of things are a commonplace. These intuitions, these insights that you receive, or these calls, these spurts of inspiration, you know, or intuition, guidance. I'm led just like you're led, but the difference is that between those who use their power for good or don't use them at all, or use them for evil, purposes or for selfish gain, we'll find that the spirits will pretty much comply to however you want them to, but you have to beware, because beware of those spirits that are not good. You know, you have spirits that lead you to doing things that you should not do, to harm people you should not harm, invoke spirits that should not be called. So, you know, you have to go gently into that good night. Be careful. Extremely careful. And with that, we're I'll lead you to that assumption. I don't know. I'd like to end the show tonight with some kind of extremely upbeat thing, but sometimes it's not easy to do. But I did write an essay. It's my book. I don't know if I've read it on the show here or not. I'm going to end tonight with the short essay that I wrote in my book, and it's called Altering World Reality, and it's in the Metaphysical Essays of my book. I wrote this back in May of 2005. It's on my website. It says, we all have seen or heard of some miracle or form of healing not considered possible by the medical or scientific communities. We have heard of people who can create masterful illusions and confound all senses. We have heard of shamans and medicine men or psychics or spiritualists who have communicated with the dead or healed the living by magical incantations. Mankind has always been susceptible to a hoax or a con. World governments and religions operate by their masterful illusions of godlike or militaristic supremacy. Their illusion is based on the false belief that those who follow them actually believe in the intuition, or they rather, the institutions and authority. Most follow for the sake of convenience and expediency. The power of these institutions is given to them by the passive collective beliefs and cynicism of their followers. All spiritual and political leaders are master manipulators, showmen, or illusionists. Many years ago, I read a book by a man with only one name, Neville. He wrote and lectured during the 1960s and 70s. His writings and lectures were based upon the power of the imagination and how it alters the physical reality and can change the world as it changed his life and that of his many students who used his techniques of visualization. Neville's book was entitled The Promise. It looked, it took for one of its major premises the teaching of Christ, who said, knock and the door will open. Ask and you shall receive. Neville states that all prophets are not people who saw the future, but they saw visions of how they would like the future to be. They gave their followers a vision to embrace and a lofty ideal to center their existence upon for an individual and a society to achieve. Neville's book cites example after example of his students and himself creating first in their minds a complete vision of what or who they wanted to happen or become. And within days or weeks after using the technique of visualization, their physical lives were completely transformed by a miraculous healing, a sudden increase in great wealth, or a perfect relationship, friendship, or marriage. This process of visualization has been used and perfected by artists, athletes, and entrepreneurs for centuries. So many successful people have discovered that visualization of their goals was vital to their achievement of it. Visualization is the force and foundation of all the greatest achievements of mankind. If we can imagine it, we can have it. Many who are reading the article this article or listening to it might be wondering if I have put these practices to use in my life. The answer is yes. Have I had success in achieving my goals in transforming physical reality? Yes, yes, yes. When I have applied the strict discipline that's needed to accomplish self-abandonment by my intense focus upon my desired vision, remarkable results occurred. I will admit that I have failed to achieve immediate results in some of my visions, but I continued my visualizations for several months until the goal was achieved. But as a toothless child cannot chew a large steak, so is the person that cannot fully realize their great success. We can only achieve what we are able to fully conceive. When we first visualize our desires, we encounter many self-doubts, and we must keep in mind the desires of others and that their imaginings of us may, if we do not recognize them, be interfering with our own vision of what we want to achieve and what we believe of ourselves. If a person can successfully visualize his desire, could that desire be injurious to another, to someone else, or to you? Perhaps that other person wants your job, your wife, your money, your life. Unless you have your own powerful vision of what you want to create, then you are doomed to become part of someone else's vision. If we do not have a vision of ourselves as we want ourselves to be, then someone else will create us the way they want us to be in their own vision. Remember that nature cannot tolerate a vacuum. Disciplines, we'll get 10 seconds left, so you'll have to pick the rest of this article up in the archives. Good night. But I'm going to continue here. In disciplines of auto-suggestion, focus, and wise use of the imagination equate to the high art of visualization, which will transform one's desires into reality. The old adage of beware what you wish for, it might come true, was first stated by someone who understood the effects of visualization. We unconsciously create our own reality every day by the positive or negative thoughts we project. And the imagination can create war and conflict just as it can create peace and harmony. And if the majority of the consciousness of the people from all over the world could be directed to the visions of doom and gloom prophets, why can't their collective consciousness be revised by a new utopian vision where all men and women cooperate fully with each other to ensure a seamless reality where universal freedom, peace, and love are the eternally indestructible walls that will protect and defend human civilization? It is all only a thought away from the vision to become reality. And Gandhi said, "If you must become the change you wish to see in the world." That's from my book, Naked at the Mic, and the Metaphysical Essays section. And I want to thank everybody who joined me tonight. Sorry there were no call-ins, but I sense there was somebody out there, I know there was, who picked this up. And if you wish to own it, it's yours. So I thank everybody for listening, and I want to thank everybody, who's the tremendous number of people who have been getting listening to the programs. I'm so pleased that we've, you know, just exceeded all expectations in the last few months. Just been last 6 or 7 months, just been amazing. And I'd love to thank you, every one of you who's listening now and who continues to listen and tell your friends. And I just want to thank everybody. And the show is doing tremendously well. And I want to thank everybody. And don't forget, if you're interested, please pick up, go to Amazon.com or you go to iUniverse.com. You can download an ebook of my new book, Naked at the Mic, from iUniverse.com. Only $9.99. And you can get a hard copy, of course, at Amazon or at iUniverse. So I want to thank everybody and have a pleasant evening.